Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill and Brandon Maslin, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, and thank you so much for joining us today for Get Yourself the Job here on LA Talk Radio. I am Jennifer Cahill, and it is so much fun. I can't believe we just hit our five-year anniversary of the show, and we're so grateful that you are here with us. If this is your first time joining us, a quick little recap of what we've been doing here over the last 5 years is that every week we talk with a lot of experts and thought leaders from around the world on the 360-degree look at everything you need to know from A to Z on landing your dream job. And perhaps maybe you already have it, and figuring out sometimes how to pivot and get yourself on the right career trajectory so that way you take off and you can have and be and do whatever you want. So that's the essence of the show and why we join here together every Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific time, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the show would not be possible without our sponsors, the people over at Markham Search LLC. Markham Search offers premier professional recruiting services throughout the United States. So we invite you to keep them in your mind for any of your potential staffing needs that you may have. And today we have a special show in store for you. My dear friend, Brandon Maslin, who joined me as co-host this past September, and it's just been one big adventure after another. So he's here, of course, with us, which makes the show 10 times more fun and hopefully more fun for you to listen to, too. I know it's definitely a lot more fun for me. And we're having actually a repeat guest. So Jeffrey Gittimer is joining us today. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about who Jeffrey is in the world, aside from having, I think it's 15 best-selling books. I'm going to read you a little bit about his bio, and we're going to tie in one of my favorite topics of all time, which we're going to talk a little bit about some of the work he's done with Napoleon Hill. That was actually my very first kind of thought leadership book that I had read when I was 18 years old and completely changed and altered the trajectory of my life. So we'll talk about how you can harness some of those principles in your job search. So let me read to you a little bit about Jeffrey's bio so that we can do justice to who he is in the world. As I mentioned, Jeffrey Gittimer is the author of 15 best-selling books. He's a creative, on-the-edge writer and speaker whose expertise on sales, customer loyalty, and personal development are renowned around the world. He is known for his presentations, seminars, workshops, and keynote addresses that are funny, insightful, in your face, real world, off the wall, and on the money. Given exclusive access to the archives of the Napoleon Hill Foundation, his most recent book is called Truthful Living, The First Writings of Napoleon Hill. It is the very foundation of Napoleon Hill's self-help legacy. His long-lost original notes, letters, lectures, now all compiled and edited and annotated for the modern reader. Jeffrey gives his audience information they can take out into the street 1 minute after a seminar is done. I don't know too many people who can do that and turn it into money immediately. His podcast, Sell or Die with his co-host, Jennifer Gluckow, gets over 100,000 downloads a month. Jeffrey was inducted into the National Speakers Association Speaker Hall of Fame and is officially known as the King of Sales. Thank you so much for being here with us, Jeffrey.
Thank you for setting such low expectations, Jennifer.
Well, nowhere to go but up from here, I mean, right? Once you've already blown it out of the ballpark.
I know. I can't wait to send somebody an invoice. are you guys both in L.A.?
We were in LA years ago, and I'm normally somewhere in the world. I've been traveling around the world for the last year, though for the first time in doing this show, it's the first time I've done it in LA in probably over a year. But Brandon's up in the Bay Area.
Yeah, we met in Los Angeles. I'm in the Bay Area right now. That's right. Yeah.
Is that the good Bay Area? Is that the
East Bay? I'm East Bay, so I think the town is the way to go, but that's just me. originally from Baltimore, though.
Everyone who lives out west is originally from someplace.
That's a fair assessment, even if you go back historically. Go ahead, Jennifer.
Where are you joining us from today, Jeffrey?
I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina. I spend half my time here in Charlotte and half my time at the beach in a little city called Wild Dunes, South Carolina. It's a private beach community where there's not a lot of morons.
Is that the town slogan when you drive in? Like,
yeah.
Not a lot of morons. Yeah, population not that big. Well, Jeffrey, thanks for joining us, and I appreciate your hustle shirt. And you similarly have good taste in co-hosts, at least with the names Jennifer. So no, thanks a lot. You know, I'm going to kick us off a little bit because of you know, I think you were sales is your bread and butter. It seems like that, and obviously the public speaking and the positive motivation. And one of the things I find in my work, coaching 700 executives, is people have a lot of trouble selling themselves, whatever that might mean, whether that is in a job interview, whether it's on a date, whether that's just knowing their worth. That's certainly something I battle with in my lifetime. Can you talk about the difficulties you've seen with people just really understanding their value and articulating it in a way that's reflective of who they really are?
Yeah, I can easily do that. I think, though, that the bottom line of this is people are not going to like to hear the answer that I'm giving, because it basically challenges them at their core. If you don't believe in yourself and what you're doing, if that's not your core principle of existence, you're going to come off as a, well, maybe, you know, I'm not really sure right now, but I'm working at it. That's not who I want to talk to. I want to talk to the person who's damn sure about what's happening and why, so that I can believe in them and march forward. Whether you're a leader or you're a coworker or you're a truck driver, it doesn't matter. If you love what you do, that's going to show. And if you don't, that's going to show. So if the first thing out of your mouth is a complaint about whatever society has given us this, you know, this particular week, COVID is a real easy target, but there's other things besides that. You know, we have the economy that many people are battling, and the lockdown crap and the other things that are involved in that. And you can take it two ways. You can either look for your resilience or gripe. And the people who gripe are not going to be listened to.
Jeffrey, I love what you're touching on. And I want to deep dive for a moment and tie in some of Napoleon Hill's principles. You just wrote this new book about, you know, his writings. And I feel so grateful because I know that the difference it made in my life, and some people tuning in right now might not be familiar with Napoleon Hill's work and philosophies. He was essentially, I mean, you could probably speak to this greater than I can, you know, one of the first thought leaders and pioneers of the last century who studied the wealthiest men at the time who had accumulated mass wealth and looked for the common thread of what had them have that sustainable success that is probably one of the most best-selling books of all time. So let's talk about the principles you just touched on. You know, Brandon's tying in, how do we sell ourselves? And I think it really ties into some of the key principles in Napoleon's book, and would love to hear maybe any tidbits of new principles that you have emerged from his notes and his writings.
Well, you obviously have to have self-belief as part of your core, but there's also an ability for you to gather the information and project it in a way that's believable. And you have to put yourself in a leadership position by saying, okay, these are my beliefs. And the reason I believe them is because I live them. Most people have beliefs that they do not live. They have guiding principles that hang on a wall someplace. You know, I'm flabbergasted at the amount of companies that have a quote mission statement that if I held a gun to their head, couldn't recite three words of it. Now, dude, it's the mission. Like, why would you not go to sleep with it under your pillow? Correct? So in order to circumvent stupidity because people say, well, what's your mission statement? We have a four-word mission statement. Sell Jeffrey, kiss ass. We don't put it on all of our literature, but everybody knows exactly what it is. Sell Jeffrey, kiss ass. And anybody who calls on the phone, anybody who needs anything, we drop what we're doing to take care of customers. We don't put people on infinite hold and tell them that we'll be back to them as soon as we possibly can and how important your call is and all the other crap that goes with it. Those are phony statements. If my call was so important, why am I on hold?
I couldn't agree with you more, Jeffrey. In running a company, I had created and sold my first company, which was a recruiting company. And, you know, for me, my clients were always astounded by the fact that no matter where in the world I was, I would take calls from New Zealand and South Africa, right, and you name it, because I was always there and I was always answering the calls. And it's about knowing what matters to you, I think, is what you're kind of tying into, whether it's your mission statement. Maybe some people out there, their children are their mission, and that's equally as important. It's about having a mission. And I think that's been all of our wake-up call this last year. You know, I've seen probably 10 friends over the course of the last weekend, and the common denominator between each of these friends I've seen while being back in LA has been a general level of dissatisfaction with life. I think that it kind of shook us up like a martini shaker last year, not being able to travel, being in the same place. And for many people, it's been an awakening of sorts of what does matter to us? Like, not only what's your company's mission statement, what is your mission statement as a human being? Why are you putting your feet on the ground when you get out of bed tomorrow? And I think that's something that, if you could speak a little bit about crafting your beliefs and understanding, so many people out there are kind of like a flag in the wind waving this way and that, depending on what company they work with or, you know, who they're dating at the time. How do we become steadfast in who we are as human beings so that no matter what happens, you know, people can laugh and giggle at what you just said, you know, sell Jeffrey, kiss ass. But at the end of the day, you're clear on what it is. And I think that level of clarity and that level of certainty.
I am completely clear. Nobody has any questions about what our mission statement is. But I'm not going to be the number one company in the world and build shareholder value. And like, seriously, it's a corporate BS spoken by a marketing team of people. And they fight over, should we put is or was in here? And no one gives a shit which one it is. No one cares.
So Jeffrey, so you're talking about customers. So how do you source customers? Are you networking? Are you marketing? I mean, how can people get discovered?
Well, I have found, and this is a Napoleon Hill principle. He created the law of attraction back in the 20s, where he's going to put himself out there as a value provider. People will discover him and be attracted to him. Not an advertisement, hey, please buy my book. Not a come into my funnel and, you know, I dare you to get out of it without spending $100. And put myself in a position where I can perceive value as opposed to perceiving a pitch. And I think, you know, you go back 100 years and that's what you find. You find value. And people didn't know any better. There wasn't any computer. There wasn't any cell phone. It was nothing. You know, I mean, you tapped it out on a typewriter. And there was no correcto type. You had to scratch it out with some kind of crap. I don't know what, white paint. But the bottom line was you took care of your words succinctly. And one of the things that I think is significant about Napoleon Hill is that his words were ahead of their time. So, for example, in today's world, we tend to use the word focus or mindset. And Napoleon Hill just said concentration, because that's what he believed people needed to do more of, rather than try to ramp themselves up, rather put themselves in a situation where they recognized that concentration was the key to focusing in and getting something done. So think about that as a, you know, if you're trying to attract somebody to you. And my opinion is attraction is the key to wealth. Because if you have to advertise, you're not going to, it's not going to hold out well for you. I'll just say that. And people are going to look at your ad and scream bullshit. And so I'm looking at this from the perspective of, okay, what's believable about me? What's attractive about me? So for the last 25 years, me personally,
bless you.
I post articles, I write books, and I create attraction so that people call me. I don't call anybody. I didn't call you. Correct?
Your publicist reached out, but it's because we knew each other before.
But the bottom line for me is that we're looking at this from a standpoint of I'm trying to do the best I can for others through my words and my deeds and my philosophies and my strategies. And if people like them, they'll buy them. They'll buy more. And if they don't like them, they'll go, oh, I don't like that guy. And click. We live in a one-click world.
I would be nice if people had more of that, Jennifer, I think, too, to a job search. You know, I talk to a lot of people and they don't get a job. And I never see that as a bad thing. They didn't like you. You didn't like them probably. You know, it's not a mystery science novel here. There wasn't a connection. Congratulations. You're not wasting your time. I like that, Jeffrey, because I think people beat themselves up because why did that person not value me? Who cares? You're not going to waste your time in a company that doesn't value you. Congratulations. And I think it's easy to get beat up or beat ourselves up. I think if you get too much of that trap of why not?
Well, let me take it deeper, Brendan. People go get a job because they need a job or they need money or they get a mortgage payment or whatever. And my philosophy about that has always been, if you take that job, you're going to go take another job very soon. Because you're not going to like what you do or you're going to find some flaw or fault. My philosophy has always been the same. Find something that you love and be willing to do it for nothing. And someone will be willing to pay you for it. And if you do that, then, you know, what do you say to your friends? Hey, I found a job that I actually love. And they're going to go, wow, tell me about it. Instead of, well, I took this job because of the money and I'm immediately putting my resume up someplace else because the guy was kind of an asshole. Like, seriously, why would you do that? Who do you work for? Yeah. Well, he's an asshole. Well, great.
It makes me think, Jeffrey, of one of my favorite stories in Napoleon Hill is just having, like you said, concentration. And I remember being wholeheartedly inspired. In fact, I must attribute my success in my career to Napoleon Hill's book because he talks about the story of how he wanted a job at a particular place. And so, you know, most people would give up after one try. It's like, oh, okay, well, I have this thing I really want and I desire it with all my heart. And so he sent letters. And like you said, he volunteered and he was willing to do everything and do it for nothing in order to get that job and also to have the gusto to do it. And I wouldn't be sitting here right now hosting the show with you if it weren't for using those same principles. I remember I was in a job I was miserable in, much like you're discussing. You know, it was my first recruiting job straight out of college. And there was an acquisition, like a job requisition that came in for another recruiting company paying, like you said, you know, dollars and the dangling carrot, you know, 50,000 more a year. So I literally picked up the phone, called the president of this other company. And I said, hi, I'm Jennifer Cahill and you're going to hire me. And I'm going to be the best damn thing that ever happened to your company. Right. And he was so damn astounded. He's like, who are you? How did you get? I was like 21, 22 years old. And they hired me and I broke every company record, went on to open up my own company and do all of that. And nobody ever, like even Deepak, you know, I'm very lucky to get to host a series with Deepak. And the amount of gusto it took 4 months into four weeks into hosting my first TV show and to tell Deepak's people like, hey, I saved Deepak a slot on my show if he'd like to join me. And then Deepak says, yes. So that would have never been possible had I not just been certain, like, I don't know why, but I just got a vibe that we were meant to collaborate together.
And it works. What you're not saying, Jennifer, is that it takes balls in order to be able to get to that next level. And balls has a lot to do with your self-belief. You know, if you believe that it's okay then you can march to success. And if you don't, you're going to walk in and be hesitant about the circumstance and you will lose. So I don't care if you're wrong. Self-confidence.
How do we do that, Jeffrey? Like, I know how I did it, and it's been an ongoing process, but how, let's say somebody out there right now is listening and they're like, listen, you guys can feel, I feel like you're blowing smoke up my butt because, you know, I'm miserable and nothing ever works out. And it's not fair. I hear that so often, you know, somebody else got the job, somebody else got the interview, you know, how do you shift that mindset? Because it's something that many of us might've had from childhood or a belief, a limiting belief. How do we shift from that limiting belief to one of expansiveness, abundance, and unlimited possibilities, such as what you're speaking about with law of attraction?
It's hard when you're broke. It's hard when you need money. But there's a circumstance that says, if you don't really love it, what the hell are you doing? Who are you kidding? And what you did is told that guy, hey, I can love this and you're going to love me. And the guy said, okay, correct? So the challenge that you have is all you did was express your self-belief to a point where it was easily acceptable to the other person. They loved your moxie. They loved your skill level. And they hired you. And it worked out for them. They could have just as easily, you know, what did that guy really have to lose by hiring you? And the answer is not much. He already knew who you were.
Yeah, it's about taking a chance. And I think I will say something that has helped me to expand this, because sometimes you feel, I was talking to somebody about this recently, like an imposter. You know, it's one thing to say that, and it's another thing to produce results that are in alignment with that. And so something one of my mentors taught me years ago that I highly recommend is to look at yourself in the mirror. And actually, Brandon, it was on a show you and I did before you were co-host on networking many years ago. It must have been maybe even 2017, 2016, something like that. And it's similar. Sharing the story of your friend. And it's about looking at yourself in the mirror and saying, you are an extraordinary woman, man, person, however you want to self-identify, doing extraordinary things. And I love you. And you're going to nail this. And I think it was a combination of some of the Napoleon Hill stuff, something my mentor taught me, and an interview I did with Brandon many years ago that inspired me to start doing that before I host any show, before I ever go up on stage. You got to believe in yourself before the audience will.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, go ahead, Jeffrey.
I'm sorry. It's your self-talk. Either you have it or you don't have it. And well, you know, right now I'm a little bit depressed, and right now I'm like, dude, get over yourself. Everybody goes through some kind of a problem situation in their life, and now you have literally an excuse.
Yeah, I think of credit to one of my friends. Yeah, I was getting beat up a little bit this week. It was a hard week for a variety of reasons. Not what you're supposed to say, but it's the truth. I'm a bit of a vulnerability, authenticity guy, and this is what my reality is. Now, will I bring that into any trainings? No. I'm going to bring it to the show? Sure. And so, you know, it took a hit to my confidence, at least since I've gone out on my own. And I got this from one of my friends and clients, and she said, I love this. This is literally what I got right before the show. Visualize in great detail what your practice will be, how you will help your clients, how your business will be. Really visualize it every day. Send positive thoughts and blessings out into the world. That positive energy is the place from where your work and your new business will be manifested. It was like, you know, so anyway, I like the universe coming to my rescue, if you will. But I also agree, Jeffrey, to that point of, you know, there's this great NPR neuroscience study that they found that when people speak negatively about other people, like even if it's justified, 100% justified, people associate those same negative attributes to the person saying those things. So even it has nothing to do. And so we do that, and we do that in interviews too, right? We go, justified, boss was toxic, whatever word you want to use, but people go, maybe you are too. And so it is important to find that authenticity and find that intersectionality with positivity. As I like this, one of the things I advise everyone in an interview, don't tell them what you've done, tell them what you're going to do. You're leaving your job because you want to leave your job. It's very hard to stay that positive. But if you talk about where you're going next, where you're heading, what you want to accomplish, you know, it's Jennifer Hill picking up a phone and being like, I'm going to be the best saleswoman you've ever had. I mean, you're like, you know, there's a great book, right? I think it's The Greatest Salesman. It's like 11 mantras over 11 days. Yeah. Every single person I've ever known who's done that book has manifested their dreams. I mean, hard stop.
Exactly. I knew him, Og Mandino.
Oh, you did? That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. I knew all old guys knew each other at one point in time. That's like part of the deal. But I think the challenge that people have right now is that they haven't seen it, or they haven't felt it, or they haven't tasted it. And they kind of need to have that in order to move forward.
That's a beautiful point, Jeffrey, that it is one. If you can't see it or you can't taste it, it's hard to be it, right? I mean, I worked at a feminist organization for 6 years, 7 years. And there's so many studies, for example, if young women, young girls have in fourth grade, have a female math teacher, they outperform the boys. If the next year they have the gender normative, which is more traditional in schools, a male math teacher, it goes the other way. What's the difference? Nothing. Just that they, you know, they're being told this is the thing. And I think that I think representation is important. Diversity is important. But Jeffrey, let me ask you this. If you've never experienced it, and you've never seen it, what is the trick to manifest it?
Reading about it.
And Jeffrey has 15 books on it. By the way, great cover.
Well, yeah, but cover. You don't have to read my. You don't have to read me to find out what's going on. But more has been written. The great Jim Rohn said, "All the information you need to succeed already exists. The problem is you're not exposing yourself to it." And so. No matter what you decide to do, anything that has self-help at its core is going to help you get a firmer understanding of who you can become. Not who you are, but rather who you can become. And I think that's the real challenge here.
Yeah, I'm going to go so far as to say I'm going to do a promotion. Now, this company is not paying me to say this, but this is something that any one of us can do with 15 minutes in your day. And you could even, listening to it at 1.5 times the speed, do it in maybe 7 minutes. One of my favorite apps is called Blinkist. So I'll read a book often, you know, maybe you're on vacation or you have some downtime, and then I want to revisit a book. And so the Blinkist app, like The Four Agreements, is one of my other favorites aside from Napoleon Hill, Thinking Grow Rich. And you can go to Blinkist and in 15 minutes, you can blink a book and remind yourself of the essence of it. If you did that 15 minutes a day, think of the time we spend watching Netflix, doing other things, totally fine. We need time to like kind of decompress. But if you even did it while you were walking your kids to school or maybe doing something else, you could literally get information and expand your consciousness 15 minutes a day. You could read 30 books or blink 30 books in a month. And all of a sudden, that one book you blink on neuroscience might inspire you to have a whole new career you might not have ever even dreamed of.
And also, you catch the message subliminally before you ever catch it realistically. Someone's going to say enthusiasm, and it's going to set in your mind. Someone's going to say self-belief, and it's going to set in your mind. And it's not something that you dwell on. It's just something that's there for you. And all of a sudden, it manifests itself. Like, I can do this. Okay, I'm good enough for this. And so many people, and I don't want to genderize this, but you've heard it before where some woman will say, I gave you the best years of my life. Well, what were you doing that for? They're the best years. Keep a couple. And I don't understand why people are martyrs in today's society when they don't just try to go for themselves and do something really well for themselves and others will follow you. You don't have to be a martyr. You don't have to lay your life down for whoever or whatever. You be your own self. I don't understand why people don't do that. I wish I did, but I don't. Not strong enough yet. Maybe another 20 years.
So Jeffrey, let's go back to some of the principles. You know, I'm a huge devotee. I've probably read, well, not just blinked, but actually read Think and Grow Rich at least 10 times in the last, you know, 15, 20 years. Probably should have read it more, and you're inspiring me to reread it. What are some key takeaways from your new book? What are some new principles that maybe some of us out there might be familiar with law of attraction or
some
of the
principles? Well, Jennifer, I'm so glad you asked that because I just happened to have the book open to something I wanted to talk about.
Perfect. We're in synchronization.
Okay. Now, I want you to think about this, and just in terms of this was a list that was written 100 years ago. not last week, not last month, 100 years ago. Chapter 15, it's actually lesson 15, imagination, desire, enthusiasm, self-confidence, and concentration. What else do you need? And why don't people have this? And the answer is, I don't know. They're spending too much time looking at someone else's bullshit, other people's drama, Netflix, having a beer, watching some silly show at the end of a day, and wondering why they wake up in a fog and they're all pissed off. And the one thing that I do at my age, and maybe I went through the drug era long before most people did, I wake up sober every day. There's no fog in my head. I'm a writer. And if you're a writer, you have to be clear in everything that you do, unless you're Ernest Hemingway. So if you're not Ernest Hemingway, then you might want to pay more attention to this. Well, because he somehow did it.
Well, it didn't turn out too good for Ernest in the long run there either. Well, you know, catches up to you. So, it's taking care of what I'm hearing is you take care of your mind, your body. I'd imagine that word on your shirt means a lot to you too. A little hustle goes a long way.
But here's the deal. It's organized hustle. It's not scramble hustle.
What does that mean, Jeffrey? Yeah.
People wake up in the morning and go, oh my God, I got so many things to do. I got to do this, 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 and this. And they scramble. I never wake up in the morning and wonder what I have to do. I always have a list that I made last night. So I know exactly what I have to do. It's organized to a point where I'm going to get it done no matter if my ass falls off. And I just go about my business. I'm organized in my hustle. I'm not wasting time.
I like that. That's a good takeaway.
Yeah.
That's really good. No, I love it. There's a lot of neuroscience on that, right? If you wake up and you know what you're going to do, it's the whole reason like Brock had his suits laid out every day. It was like just nothing you had to think about. And it was like, if you don't even have to think about what you're going to wear that day, you're going to have a more productive day from the get-go. Little things like that.
Yeah, that's actually my biggest thing is what shirt am I going to wear today? Because in the era of COVID, you no longer have to get dressed up. No one's expecting you to look. And Jennifer, with all due respect, you have very nice. You have your green and blue on. You're rip roaring ready to go. But you could wear anything in today's world.
So Jeffrey, I'm going to show you guys a little secret. This is a secret, by the way, in a time of COVID. Do you want to know what I'm wearing? I am wearing what I went for a run in today, and I threw a scarf.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
So I look professional here, but that's life hacks. That's the thing that most of us spend our lives thinking way too much about things. I honestly eat the same food every damn morning. And much like you, Jeffrey, like that's one of my little life hacks is I get up every day. This is how effective I am. I actually use the Starbucks Via coffee packets because it's one less step and it takes 20 seconds to make a Starbucks Via coffee packet because I have to do is add hot water and milk. And then that's actually 20 more seconds I could spend praying, meditating, setting my intentions for the day. And much like you, Jeffrey, is I set my intentions every morning because sometimes they vary if I do them. I do a weekly intentions that I set on a Sunday, monthly intentions I set the first of the month, and then daily intentions the first thing when I wake up. And then just like today, it was around 3:30 and I wasn't clear because I knew that, you know how you have that nagging feeling in the back of your head that there's something you wanted to do, but you didn't. And so what I did is I just went through my intentions and I was like, oh, okay, here are the four things that were not coming to the forefront of my mind that I can now achieve with ease and effortlessly because now I had them written down.
Yeah, you're a disgustingly organized person, Jennifer, and which I respect, but... Most people are not. Most people, if you're low on money, you spend about 30% of your time scrambling for money. Just keep that in mind. So that takes away, you're now at 70% efficiency, regardless of what you do, when money is an issue. And sometimes it can be more. If the rent's due or the mortgage is due or whatever, it's tough. It's very tough in today's marketplace. So I would challenge the listener today that whatever you're trying to do, whatever you're trying to accomplish, number one, make sure it's something that you love and make sure you're doing it enthusiastically, or you're going to wonder why you're banging your head up against the wall and it's not working out.
Yeah, I just want to honor that there are people in society where the thing they love is their kids, or their or whoever they're making money for, and they don't write. I mean, you know, I'm for Baltimore, like Mike Rose, whole dirty jobs, right? I mean, there are people in the world who are doing God's work. I don't want to disacknowledge that you can love your family, and that can be the thing. What I believe is you got to give meaning, you got to give purpose to your life, and you give meaning and purpose to your life, everything can be enjoyable.
Totally. And the purpose is that you enjoy it to a point where it becomes fulfilling, not success, but fulfilled.
Right. Absolutely.
It's huge.
Yeah. And there's something that you inspired me to share, Jeffrey. There was somebody who was attended, some other thought leader had an event, and this thought leader had a game that you play. And this is one of my favorite games that I now play with other people in my life. Let's say you really want something. It could be to have your own company. It could be to have $1 million or zero debt or to have a family, whatever it is. To sit down with a friend and to list out 100 ways how that could happen. And I sat there one day shortly after I learned this exercise. I remember exactly where I was in Herne Bay in the UK. And I'm sitting there with my fiance on the bed. And we just started, like, we had this funny conversation. Say you want $100 million. We're like, okay, we're going for a walk on the beach. And we come across a buried treasure that, like, you know, and you just start to play with all of the 100 ways that something miraculous, something beyond the fathom, the scope of how you could ever foresee that happening, that it just might pop into your existence. But our brain is so focused on why we can't have the things we want that we don't even give ourselves that play, that space, whether it's a family, our dream job, our dream company, to play with and dance with how it could work. And if I may, I'd love to share a little story that Gene Houston shared with me last year. Sure. Gene was a friend of mine. Do you know Gene, Jeffrey? I'm not sure if you guys have crossed paths.
No.
It was funny. I actually didn't know who she was either. So Jean Houston is a prolific thought leader and so forth. And I get in a breakout room with her in this 40-person Zoom thing that I'm in. And she's like, oh, I'm just an American author. And then she winds up giving the keynote at this retreat I'm at. And here's what Jean says. She says, you know, I was 8 years old. I was in New York. And Einstein came for a visit to our class in New York City. And all of the children were agog with curiosity and excitement and overflowing. And so I wrote the story down because I loved it so much. And so Jean says that, of course, the children now can ask Einstein questions. And the first young man raises his hand and he's a little bit cheeky and he says, Mr. Einstein, how can I be as smart as you? And he says, Einstein says, read fairy tales. And so then the next little kid, who's also equally cheeky, says, Einstein, how can I be smarter than you? And Einstein says, read more fairy tales. So now young 8-year-old Jean Houston raises her hand and timidly says, Mr. Einstein, I think what I'm hearing you say is that we should be using our imagination. And he looks at her and he says, yes, young lady, that is exactly what I am saying. He said, you see, they pay me all this money to do the numbers and so forth, but I hand that off to other people. And meanwhile, I ride around on a beam of light, imagining things. And I just love that story because it ties into what you were saying earlier about just how do we harness our imagination? How do we ride around on the beam of light and get somebody else to do the work that we don't want to be doing and then live our best life?
I sat in the Diane von Furstenberg store in what is now the fashionable meatpacking district. I'm old enough to remember when they had meat there. And she gave a talk to the American Express Centurion people. There was only about 150 people in the room. And this is a woman who literally created a new fashion look for women that will never go away. Any argument with that? She created the wrap dress, iconic. It will never go away. And she begins her talk by saying, I never really knew what I wanted to do, but I always knew who I wanted to become. And I'm sitting there just about in tears, thinking how brilliant and thought-provoking this woman's lesson is. And I literally dwelled on it, literally for the first 5 minutes of her talk while she went through the history of her husband and all that kind of crap. And I got to thank her at the end. You know, you don't often get to literally thank the people that have impacted you. You read their book and you close the book and that's it. You never get to talk to them. I get to talk to the people that literally changed things for me. And I would challenge anybody that if you're really looking to make a difference, go find the person that impacted you if they're still alive and just thank them.
Do a training tomorrow on this, but wonderful way to turn mentors into sponsors. Wonderful way to go back to someone who impacted you, who's giving you advice and say, here's how you changed my life. Watch if they don't say, what else can I do? I'm sure it's true for you, Jeffrey, because I'm sure you've impacted people when they come back and give you that accolades. So the book you wrote, or any of the books you wrote, what's your best takeaway? We're still trying to help people get their dream job, right? Whatever that might mean.
Yeah.
What's your big tip from you got 15 books. I'm not going to put you on the spot, but what's your favorite tip to tell maybe a job seeker?
When you're going to interview with somebody, don't ask about bullshit. Ask about impact. Don't ask about what are the benefits of this job and what kind of vacation do I have, and forget that. You want to know, how will what you do impact the success of the company, and where's your chance for growth? If you start to talk about that, people will actually respect you as opposed to thinking of you as a taker.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's to great me, advice.
Thanks.
No, yeah, I love thanks. It. I for years I talked about professional brand, you know, your brand. And this last year I changed it to your identity. Who are you? What do you stand for? And for years I would ask people, what's your goal? And I just in the last year and a half, I've been like, forget your goal. What's your impact? And it's been transformative because people, when you ask people, Jeffrey, I love that question. I love that approach. Because when you get to someone, what the impact someone's going to have, they got to bring all of themselves, right? They got to bring their whole whatever, because you can't
how
do it.
How will what I do happen. Impact the growth of this company?
It's great. That's awesome. I love that for our listeners.
I love that, Jeffrey. Thank you so much. And speaking of your 15 books and the latest one that we've been talking a little bit about today, where can people go if they want to go pick it up? We got to promote you, my friend.
And I know this people is a make those surprise, calls. Jennifer, you can go to Amazon. I don't know if you've ever heard of Amazon, but just go in there and type Gitomer, Gitomer, and all kinds of crap is going to show up.
What's the best crap that you got on there?
I have a new book called Go Live, which is all about going live. I know that's a crazy title, but
going live we live on
in
Facebook?
This world. We live in this world right now.
Okay.
We're on StreamYard, correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Well, how come we're on StreamYard? Why aren't we on Skype?
Because StreamYard partners with Facebook Live.
And because it makes it easier for people to go and attack and attract and be at the forefront of live. I've been going live every day since March the 16th of last year.
Wow.
And just to help sales guys, because I knew they're screwed up because of COVID. Well, now I'm at almost day 400. And it's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. And people join me from literally all over the world. I start my show at 9:59 in the morning, and it's known now as the 9:59. Isn't that crazy? And someone will say, well, you know, I live in California, so the 9:59 for me doesn't start till 6:59. But I'm okay with that. It's still known as the 9:59. So I would challenge anybody. There's no reason why you can't go out and make your beliefs known to the world, basically for free, and you can attract an audience. When I started, 9 people were on my first show, and 2 of them were my daughters, and 1 was my wife. So I literally had 6 people on, and now it's thousands of people every day, just based on providing value for salespeople that need it. That's it. And, you know, if you want to find out more about me, it's real easy. Just go to Amazon and find me and, you know, make a deposit. I don't ask for much. And people will want more if they do. My email address is my name, jeffrey@kittimer.com, and I can help you.
Wow, incredible, yeah. Jeffrey. Thank you so much. That's really inspiring. And I love that you did that. I've spoken with many experts over the year who say, just get out there and do it. It's like Napoleon Hill, yeah. Like your philosophy is, it's about stop being afraid. Stop finding the reasons why you can't. I know I've tried to do that before. And then I'm like, oh, I just don't want to put on makeup today. And then there was a part in the pandemic where I was doing it without makeup.
Jennifer, it's the same with me. I don't want to put up makeup either. And somehow I've gotten away with it for 75 years and you have not.
Yeah, I'm going to just start going all a la carte, all nude. I'm just going to do it in my running clothes with no makeup on. So you have inspired me, Jeffrey. I'll do my first live right after this.
No problem.
Thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure having you join us here today. And thank you for all
pleasure
your wisdom.
Pleasure to you, Jennifer and Brandon.
Thank you, Jeffrey. Thank you.
Thanks,
buddy.
For having me. If you need anything, just find me. I'm available.
Thank you so much, Jeffrey. Cheers. Thank you for joining us. And thank you to each of you out there for tuning in. Whenever and wherever you're hearing this, we're so grateful. Thank you for all the continued reviews. We're appreciating them. We have some great new reviews on iTunes. You can find us on Get Yourself the Job on iTunes, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio. We are so grateful to be growing every week, and we always welcome your feedback. You can also email us at getyourselfthejob@gmail.com or check out our new YouTube channel. If you're a fan of YouTube, we're putting every one of our videos every week on YouTube in case that's an easier way for you to connect with us. So thank you for being here. We are deeply grateful for your time, and we hope that you walked away with maybe one little nugget of wisdom. Thank you.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill and Brandon Maslin, only on LA Talk Radio.